What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, everybody, welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Let's give a big shout out to our presenting sponsor that is bringing soccer to the airwaves, the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713, call now. If you get in a boat, a motorcycle accident, maybe you work construction, it's the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713, call now. If you get in these types of accidents, well, you need the representation that is the best, and the best is the Daspit Law Firm. Welcome in, everybody. Big thank you to you tuning in tonight here and those that will ultimately be listening on the podcast at YouTube, Spotify, Apple, ESPN975.com. We're all over the place. Go back there for past episodes and enjoy those. Also, let's give it up for Senate Avenue Brewing. We're going to have a live show up there with giveaways and much, much more as we get closer to the holidays. Slip Sliders down in the Museum District. Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10, the Marquee Entertainment Center, home of the Liverpool Supporters Group, but I think the Denver Broncos has a group out there too, but it's a great place for watching games, no matter what your team is. Lamont Brands, T-shirts and hats, and Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, our great friend David Fletcher out there, and Cactus Music. By the way, don't forget tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, is Destination 2026 Houston's Countdown to the Cup right here on ESPN 97.5. So a three-hour block every week of soccer talk here in Houston, starting at 6 o'clock. Pretty unprecedented, I think, around the country. So let's do a little bit of the self-applause here for that one. I hope people recognize that, and I hope people recognize we've been on the air for 22 years. Twitter and Instagram, at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD. Facebook, Soccer Matters. And over on YouTube, same thing, Soccer Matters, so get over there. Okay. Cactus Music, too. We forgot them. Vinyl, the best. It is Cactus Music, my great buddy Quinn. Streaming at ESPN 975. All right, so last night you might have watched the Seattle Sounders. 4-2 victory at home. So it's back to Minnesota, the three-game playoff series. Now, we all talk about home and home. And why is there the third game? And it's very obvious why there's a third game. So we don't need to even talk about it anymore. And that is because, simply, it's additional content for Apple. So if we look at what Columbus recently did, striking a heavy blow, a 4-0 victory over FC Cincinnati, if in fact it was a two-legged affair, they would have advanced over Cincinnati. Now, that doesn't mean Pat Noonan might not have made changes when the game was out of reach to begin to rest players, but they would have advanced. And I believe Seattle would have advanced possibly with the four goals that they scored at home. Never count out Brian Schmetzer and the Seattle Sounders. It is one of the standard bearers in Major League Soccer, both on the field but also off the field. And the off-the-field standard bearing leads to success on the field. And I didn't see that addressed very much in the recent Dynamo press conference. What kind of investment are we making in the leadership and the front office personnel? Because I don't think it's enough right now, and I say that with all due respect. But we're going to get into that more next week because we're going to talk about the press conference and Ted Siegel and Tim Howard's thoughts. Why the president who runs the business, Jessica O'Neill, on a day-to-day basis, why wasn't she in front of the microphone? And we're going to also talk a little bit about the line of questioning. There were some good questions, but boy, there were just floating softballs that were absolutely missed. You know, relevancy in Houston. What are we doing? Yeah, I didn't really want to hear about Everton and NBC from Tim Howard. I wanted to hear about what he was doing for Houston soccer. And to me, it's very little, except being a brand that steps up at a press conference and shows up for some social media stuff. I know that sounds harsh, not trying to be disrespectful, but I do think it is the truth. It's my truth. And yeah, okay, he's having conversations in the background, maybe. But this is part of where we are now with sports. You have to have somebody that's identifiable, but he's not speaking on behalf of Houston. He doesn't know Houston. He claims to. And the USL team that he worked with, I've gotten a lot back from that, that his involvement was kind of the same here. And that's not good, because we deserve much, much better here in Houston. We don't deserve, as Tim said, smoke and mirrors. He brought that up. And it is, in my opinion, kind of disrespectful. But we're going to break down that press conference a little bit more next week. And I want to stick to where we are right now. All right. So guests on the show tonight, Jean-Luc Blackburn. Jean-Luc is a Dutchman. We're going to talk about the great Netherlands teams. We're going to talk about names like Robin van Persie, Marco van Basten, the legendary Johan Cruyff. We're going to talk about Johan Neeskens. But we're going to talk about this small country, the Netherlands, and their soccer culture. And boy, do I hope they come to Houston. They come to Houston, guess what we got? We got a great marketing ploy for the Houston Dynamo, Orange. And their fans travel great and are super, super when it comes to adding the pomp and circumstance, much like a lot of countries, but the Dutch are very good at it. And they take their football very, very seriously. So we'll talk everything with Jean-Luc. He's with Team Houston, which has been doing a really nice organic job of creating events, creating awareness. I've been working heavily with him, also with Batiri, because we're trying to create awareness from an organic standpoint. And this show and this 3 hours is huge for that in Houston. And we're going to continue to bring you the best of World Cup information for those that live here and those that will be coming in for the event, which, by the way, again, we have 7 games here in Houston, Energy Stadium, the great Energy Stadium, 5 group stage matches, and then 2 knockout stage matches. And this is a World Cup for everybody, and we got to remember that. It sometimes gets commandeered, and, you know, it's all about the big brands, but everybody can benefit from this. And, you know, whether you're going to Senate Avenue Brewing and watching the games on a big screen out there during the summer, these are all going to be like hot spots all throughout Houston. And then you're going to have, if you want to be a part of the great downtown fan festival, you can do that as well. There's going to be options. There's going to be 500,000 to 700,000 people here, maybe more. Who knows? Nobody knows for sure. Some of that will depend on what teams end up being here. But there are also going to be people that want to visit our parks, that are going to want to take and indulge in local music at the Continental Club or the House of Blues. They need hotels. They need food. They're going to go out to Chinatown and try out all the different types of amazing Asian food we have out there. They're going to want to check out the greatest historic vinyl store in Houston, Cactus Music. They're going to want to be down in the Herman Park or the Museum District and hit up Slip Sliders. I'm giving you examples of my sponsors because there is real opportunity here for people. And it's not too late to get in. I'm noticing that there's a lot of interest in this show, even more so with the World Cup coming. And the only reason I have this show is because you, the fans, and you that have supported it over all these years, and a station that's behind me too, an ESPN 97.5. All right, let's do a little World Cup qualifying updates here. All right, because November 13th and 16th, it's big. Slovakia and Germany in Group A both have the lead there. Northern Ireland following them. Group, I think this is I, Norway, 18 points in 6 matches. Now check that out. Erling Haaland will get to go to the World Cup. That would be spectacular because we know we've gone through history where great players haven't gotten to World Cups. Italy is second. Italian soccer. I hope there's a lot going on there. But both of these teams are close to direct qualification or playoff spots. Group K, England is already in. It's coming home. Well, you'll hear that cry. Maybe not this time. I don't know. But England's got a very young, talented team under Thomas Tuchel. They've got Harry Kane winning all six of their games. They're there. Croatia, leading Group L, remains unbeaten, followed by the Czech Republic and the Faroe Islands. Group F, Portugal, leading with 10 points in four matches. That's Cristiano Ronaldo. Of course, he wants to go to another World Cup. Hungary is in the position for playoff advancement. So they're highly competitive. There'll be a lot of decisive matches. This is a great watch coming up this window now, as there is going to be some really, really amazing drama, decisive matches. Teams are going to try to just secure their direct qualification for the World Cup. And again, it's in the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. And the qualifiers for Europe are pretty intense. Now, 48 teams. You're going to get some European teams that probably should be there instead of others if we're basing it on meritocracy. All right, back to Brian Schmetzer. 1994, I got my break in television, calling indoor soccer matches with the legendary Bill Land, working with great producers. Murphy Brown comes to mind, all the great people that I worked with back then on indoor soccer. This is where I cut my teeth, and then I went to Fox Sports World and got more opportunity there. Believe it or not, calling the Italian Serie A with the former New York Cosmo, Rick Davis. Rick and I became good friends calling games, and this is at the height of the Serie A. But 94, we have the Houston Hotshots, Continental Indoor Soccer League. The head coach of the Seattle team over a time period was Fernando Clavijo, the late, great U.S. national team player. His assistant coach was Brian Schmetzer. And whenever we went out to Seattle to do a game, Fernando Clavijo would invite us on his boat, which was in the harbor in Seattle. And Seattle was in a, you know, beautiful, natural place. I'm tearing through halibut and salmon, oysters, you know. We would meet at Fernando's boat. And down would come the assistant coach, Brian Schmetzer. And Brian, just a very respectful, quiet guy. Remember, his father had a soccer store in Seattle. He became a Seattle Sounder as a player and then coached the team even in lower divisions before getting the MLS job after Ziggy Schmidt, the great late Ziggy Schmidt, rest in peace. And he was just a very quiet guy. And, you know, if you're judging back then, which is a dangerous thing to do, you didn't know he was going to go on to be such a great leader and coach. And that's what I like about Brian Schmetzer. So you never count a Brian Schmetzer team out. They've got the dynamics correct there. Former Dynamo Craig Weibel is the general manager here. That guy should have been snapped up by the old Dynamo regime the minute he retired. And he should have been given opportunity in the front office. That's the kind of person you need here. And sadly, we have all outsiders, and that's why they don't understand the market here in Houston. And we can talk about Dynamo charities all we want. We're not out on the fields. We're not out in the community tilling the soil. And I really hope one day that'll change. I don't know if it will. I sure hope so. So there we go on World Cup qualifying in UEFA. And we've also got a lot of qualifying going up and coming up in CONCACAF, upcoming games. There's still teams in it. And we'll see who's going to qualify out of CONCACAF. But there's a lot of big, important matches coming up. You got on November 13th, Suriname and El Salvador. El Salvador's out of it. Bermuda, Curaçao. Curaçao's Dick Advocaat, the former Dutchman. That would be something. They're going to play in Devonshire in Bermuda. This is amazing. Trinidad and Tobago against Jamaica. That will be in Port of Spain. Our hearts go out to Jamaica and all the struggles that they have had. Haiti, Costa Rica. That's Miguel Herrera. Would Miguel Herrera have been a good choice for a coach here in Houston? Now, I know a lot of people are out there. No. Boy, would he be a draw? Would he be a soundbite? We need a Chucky Lozano here. We need that caliber of a player here. To go along with a great academy that puts Houstonians through to the first team. That is a missing piece. It's not one or the other. It shouldn't be one or the other. If it's one or the other, then we don't have a good enough want and desire from upper management and ownership. So I don't know. You know, why can other teams do it and we can't? It's just like NCAA soccer on the men's side. Why is it that Stanford can do it, but U of H can't? And we get conditioned to believe it can't be done and it can't be better. And we accept. And that's we're going to get into that next week. We're going to have some special guests on the show as well. Then November 18th, Guatemala will host Suriname, Costa Rica, Honduras, Panama, El Salvador. So 13th and 16th, big matches. Christian Pulisic is not going to play against Paraguay and Uruguay. That's been decided upon by U.S. Soccer and Milan. Don't throw barbs at him. Landon Donovan, please leave Christian Pulisic alone. You want empathy for what you call are a lot of mental challenges you had? Well, let's be empathetic to all and let's be tolerant to all. All right, how's that for an opening segment? We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We got more. Jan-Luc Blackburn, Brian Sciarretta. We're going to go deeper into the U.S. national team. I'm worried about Anthony Robinson. Let's take a break. As we go to break here, a couple of things here. Slip sliders. Down on Bins, we've mentioned that. They've got all kinds of great sliders. The variety is pretty much off the chains. They've got the signature slip, which is a traditional fresh ground chuck. And by the way, they make all theirs made to order. Caribbean chick is chicken breast with jerk chicken seasoning. That's a Jamaican thing. Slip slaw and pineapple. That's an incredible, I love that one. But my favorite is Shrimp Shack. Shrimp Shack is a shrimp cake. It's made in-house. Lettuce, tomato, avocado, and mayonnaise. And they're all served on a toasted brioche bun. It's perfection. Melts in your mouth. Great chicken tenders if you want to go that route. And they're not heavily battered. They're wonderful. And then they've got hand-spun milkshakes. Really, there's something there for everybody. And a variety of sauces as well. It's Slip Sliders. It's down on Bins in the Museum District. So don't forget to go down. Oh, they got good sides too. Cajun cheese fries, truffle parmesan fries. The onion rings are crazy. Fried cheesy pickles is very, very different. And then they got a lot of really cool teas and waters like with fresh herbs and stuff. So it is a great spot. I hope you get down there. It is Slip Sliders down on Bins. And we'll take a break here. We got more to come. It's Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the legendary John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Do want to remind you about YouTube TV customers. You could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, the NBA, college basketball, and more. If you want to take action, you go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
You're listening to Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. As we continue on here tonight, so much going on in the world of soccer. Remember, World Cup 2026 right around the corner. Houston, Texas has five group stage matches and two knockout stage matches over at the amazing Energy Stadium. Quick word here to mention to you, Senate Avenue Brewing. Senate Avenue Brewing is up in Jersey Village. You take 290 and you get off at the Senate Avenue exit. It is craft beer at its best, award-winning craft beer, exactly. Andrew Mitchum is the head man there. He's a huge soccer fan. Great patio, incredible food. Senate Avenue Brewing is the destination. What's nice about it is it's kind of like a German beer house. Kids of all ages there, people coming after work, soccer fans. It's a real, real good mix. Again, it's in Jersey Village. It's Senate Avenue Brewing. With that, it's time to talk, as we want to keep monitoring U.S. players in Europe, it's time to talk with the one and only Brian Sciarretta, American Soccer Now. He joins us now. Brian, how are you?
I'm always great, Glenn. Thanks for having me on your show.
All right, we're going to rattle some stuff off here. Let's start with Christian Pulisic, AC Milan. Sounds like Pulisic's not coming back to play against Paraguay and Uruguay, as U.S. Soccer and Milan have agreed.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of noticed that there's a bunch of injuries for the U.S. team at the last international break, and how to handle Christian and his club situation is a delicate one, and it's in his best interest to be playing as well as he can be for AC Milan. I think Pochettino knows what he can get from Christian. Christian's a lock starter. It's just about managing him, and right now it's just doing whatever he can to be playing on a daily basis, and that's with Milan. So he's not going to be here, but it's good for also the U.S. to be prepared to win without him.
Zero worry about his durability, going into the World Cup, where he's at injury-wise. I mean, that's a worry with everybody, but it might be a little bit more of a worry with him.
I'm not as worried as I would have been if they were playing Champions League soccer and, and doing everything else, a lot of European games. But their workload's about as light as you would expect for a team with its best player. I mean, I think any manager would take his situation at his club with his workload. So it's about as good as it's going to be. But, injuries can happen, at any time. You can't bubble wrap players.
Yeah, and I think people need to remember there's still a number of months prior to the World Cup. And, lots of things can happen. Injury, form can change. Speaking of form, here's a guy that's not in a lot of form and maybe is slightly not in reality. Gio Reyna at Mönchengladbach is 16 out of 18 teams. He's not starting there. Listen to this quote, which is a little disturbing to me because there's just this air of entitlement around him, a talented soccer player. He says, quote, maybe in certain ways, he's talking about the whole World Cup debacle, I'm just not going to sit here and take all the blame for something that was made out to be completely my fault, which I believe it wasn't. And also my family, too. Your thoughts?
I don't think he did himself any favors with that interview. Look at what Pochettino said about Christian Roldan, about why he wants him on the team. It's like he acts the same whether he's starting or whether he's not starting. You can always depend on him to give an effort and be a great team player. Roldan's going to put himself on the World Cup team because because of his attitude like this. And Gio's the polar opposite. He's pretty much not even entirely regretting how he behaved. And it's just because he was mad he wasn't playing. So I don't understand why any manager would want someone like that on the team when they know, this is what you're going to get if you don't start him. He's not as good as he needs to be where, he always has to be starting. He's not that good. So, yeah.
I'm starting at the club level. He went to Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
Fish out of water there. Didn't do anything there. We all know he has an ability, but I'm ready for the dance to be done with him.
And I don't even have him on my.
He's got to show that he's a maturing adult and soccer player. I don't know who the people are around him. His father, obviously. I don't know who's given him advice, but I could not believe that soundbite, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I don't even have him on my projected World Cup roster, and until he shows he can start a game and play, which he's not even close to, I don't even consider him right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. Not reading the room well. You got a coach that it's pretty clear on what he wants out of players when it comes to attitude and effort. Not reading the room, and, it's a shame. But that's that. Let's go to Haji Wright. 8 goals and 12 starts, but Coventry lost to Wrexham in the EFL. Still having a good season.
Yeah, a little bit cold recently, but I think he's fine. He's doing well. He can help the team playing center forward or playing wing. And I think at a time when Josh Sargent's cooled off tremendously, Haji's raised his game. And yeah, and I think he's on the World Cup team. I don't know if he starts because I think you got Balogun and you can get Weah and Pulisic on the wings if they're all healthy. But I still think he's a really great bench option for the team, and he can start also if there's an injury or two. So, yeah, obviously he really helped himself in the last window. He's doing well and obviously plays himself into a promotional race. It's going to be great to see how he can handle these pressureful games. I think that will only help him.
I really feel we have some competition in that position between him and Fowler and Balogun and Ricardo Pepi when he gets a little bit healthier. I do think the athleticism of Wright and Balogun and even Pepi to an extent is very important in that position for the U.S. That kind of pushes Josh Sargent, a talented player, down the pecking order for me, not to mention that he hasn't scored goals lately. How about Fowler and Balogun? How's he been doing?
Okay. You know, I think it's he's going to be on the team because he played his way in on the last cycle. Pochettino rates club, but he also rates how you did the last time he was with the U.S. team. I think he's impressed. The team has won its two out of its last three games, two wins and a draw, and he's been a big part of that turnaround. So he's not going to get dropped anytime soon. You know, I think Monaco's been a little bit uneven lately, but still, you know, Balogun's, you know, in dangerous. My concern about him is he's not as dangerous in the air as perhaps you want a U.S. striker to be and how they want to play. He's good at getting behind lines and stuff, but that's still an important tool. He's on the team. I think it could be depending on the opponent who starts at forward for the U.S. team.
You get good movement from both those guys too, I think, Wright and Balogun. That's,
and Pepe too, yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing to think about, the ability to create space for others, and I think those guys can do that. Brian Ciaretta, American Soccer Now, joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 and on Destination 2026. Guys that have fallen off the radar that obviously aren't meeting the measurement of Mauricio Pochettino. One guy that's fallen really far is Joe Scally.
Yeah, you know, he wasn't there's something in that Nations League that Pochettino saw from Scally that he didn't like. You know, and Scally's been up and down. He's on that bad Mönchengladbach team right now, and he's doing okay, as well as you could for a bad team. But, you know, look, I think it's there's a reason why he's not there. He's under consideration. Pochettino knows who he is. But he hasn't been brought back since at any time. So, yeah, I'd be very pessimistic as to his chances. It seems like Pochettino's just kind of moved on without him and a couple other players. But you're right. I mean, he's a guy who can help out either a couple of different positions, even central defense if you need. But, yeah, I think there's something happened in that Nations League window that, you know, he was just done.
Brian Ciaretta, American Soccer Now. Tyler Adams hit the score sheet. Mm-hmm. Bournemouth, although it was a 3-1 loss to Manchester City, but there's no doubt he is a key piece for the upcoming World Cup in 2026.
Yeah, I mean, he really glues really shields the back line well. And I mean, the way he can play the defensive side of the midfield game is at an elite level. I mean, I think that's why, you know, Bournemouth is, you know, they entered in this weekend in second place before the loss. You know, he's a big part of that. I mean, he's not a dynamic player with the ball. I know he scored over the weekend but you know, his real strength is defense and winning balls and stuff. And he's so good at that, but you're absolutely right. He's a big part of the equation and he's having a great season. And fortunately he was pulled off with a minor injury in the 80th minute, but it doesn't seem like it's major according to the post-game comments.
The thing with him is when you watch a Bournemouth game, just focus on him for a few minutes.
And yeah.
You see the ground he covers, the positions he takes up to balance off other people. And I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to my listeners as well. You'll see his ability to move laterally, and he sees things quickly and can put all these fires out. And I think you used a very good word, shield for the back line and for center backs. But that's when you appreciate him, is you just watch his engagement, his connection, and his ability to close down spaces and provide balance so that it allows others to attack. So I'm a big, big fan of Tyler Adams. I'm glad he scored a goal. Who else is in your mind right now in Europe?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of injuries right now. You know, Malik Tillman is, you know, when he gets back, that's a big question mark. He didn't have a good game, a tough game over the weekend, but Tanner Tessman was pulled in the 15th minute tactically. Couple reasons for that, but he's had a great season. So I think he's really helped his case, you know, in terms of, you know, bringing some athleticism there to the midfield, because if they're going to go with that three-man back line, you're not playing with many central midfielders because you're playing with the wingbacks on the outside. And it could, you know, it's going to be who partners well with Tyler Adams, you know, and I'm kind of curious to see how Tanner plays with Tyler, potentially in a two-man set. And then you got Weston still plugging away with another manager yet at Juventus. But, you know, I think he's doing well. He's in the best physical shape of the last couple of years, let's put it that way. You know, I think that's really useful for Weston. I mean, I think there was just so many questions.
Yeah, I think
about
it's
Weston.
Useful. It's a requirement if he's going to make the team. And I think he's going to be there in the end, Brian.
I absolutely think so.
And look, he's another guy along with Adams that have gone through a World Cup together. Mm-hmm. He said he was toning down his diet and everything. So yeah. I think it's a necessity he's there.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously it's and he can do when he's on, he does so well. And if he's in, he hasn't been good for the national team until his past window for a long time. And now he's playing well. It's a huge boost to the U.S. team. And then obviously Chris Richards, he's so indispensable to the team right now. It's actually frightening. They got a lot of eggs in their one basket there, particularly in the back line. He's having a career year. He's going to be the U.S. soccer male player of the year. I'd be stunned if he's not for 2025. But yeah, they just got to keep him healthy, because I think if he's the one constant they have there in central defense, and if he's so good, and if he goes down, oh man, like, and I know he has an injury history. So that's the biggest concern right now, is just making sure Chris Richards is healthy, because he's been so good for Palace this year.
Boy, he is really, to watch him mature has been really something wonderful. Just the way he carries himself, and there's just an air of confidence now when he plays for the U.S. and obviously Crystal Palace. But I just love seeing players when they kind of graduate into that next area where become more seasoned, more mature, more confident, and they carry the look of a pro even when they walk and run.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he had a kid over the, you know, recently too, and I think that's helped with his maturation personally. You know, off the field, on the field, they're always linked somehow. So a lot is going right in his world right now. And if he plays well, the U.S., that could be really one of the big things the U.S. team needs to achieve what it wants to achieve.
Brian Chiaretto, American Soccer. Now, what about Anthony Robinson? How's he doing injury-wise? That's a little...
They're very quiet about it. And I think it's a huge concern for the U.S. team right now. I don't really know. He's been out. He had knee surgery back in June. Yeah, he's only played sparingly, and they haven't been clear about when he's coming back. So the murkiness, just, you know, I think it's a big concern right now with him. You know, again, a guy who had microfracture surgery when he was in his teenage years, and, you know, you worry about the long-term durability after that. You know, so I don't know. You know, I don't like to play doctor here when I don't have any, when I don't have a medical degree, I don't have any information, but I am concerned.
You use the word murky. That always is a bit concerning. Now, the good news is there's quite a bit of time still to get him back in shape and ready for a World Cup and to play for Fulham. But boy, you're right. He is indispensable, especially with this move tactically to a three-back system, which it looks like this is going to stick under Pochettino. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's one to really, really keep an eye on. Keep our fingers crossed on that one, right?
Yeah. Look, I mean, and you just got to hope Max Arfston continues to play that great game yesterday, continues to play well, because, I mean, it's looking like he's going to get two more starts, and he's started all year. So you got to hope that leads to some kind of comfort level in case you can't count on Anthony. So we'll see.
Paraguay and Uruguay are coming up next for Mauricio Pochettino and the U.S. national team. This is great, great competition. I mean, to think you got Ecuador, Paraguay and Uruguay in a short amount of time is pretty good.
Oh, of course. You know, the South American teams are, you know, what's good about them is when you're playing a friendly, sometimes European teams play friendlies, but like South American teams play every game so hard, so intense. It's, they only have fifth gear on their, and how they're moving. So, you know, that's the best kind of thing. When you're only playing friendlies, you need to play teams that bring intensity. So that's good.
Well, Brian, listen, as always, thank you very much. Great insight. Anything you want to say before we go here?
No, just looking forward to the next pieces of the puzzle coming out when the roster comes out on February. And this is comes out on Thursday. This is the last time the team will be playing before March. So it's really important. I think players want to, if they're healthy, they need, and they're not called up, it's a bad sign. So this is a good, we'll learn a lot about really how he sees the team this window.
It's also great now that they're playing a little better, getting some results, producing against some better quality teams, that the morale and optimism has been lifted after that little bit of a dark period there where everybody was going nuts. So we're getting pulled back off the ledge a little bit here. That's a good thing, Brian. The World Cup's going to be exciting. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
All right, Brian Shiretta, American Soccer Now. Get his readings over there. Big thank you to him, as always, for coming on. He keeps us really up to date on what's going on with the players overseas, especially. As we go to break here, I want to remind you about Bins. Okay? Bins is a street in Houston. Well, that's where Slip Sliders is. Slip Sliders are the best sliders going. They're down in the Museum District. So if you're in Herman Park or you're in the museums, head over to Bins, Slip Sliders. They've got all kinds of great sliders. They're made to order. They got outdoor seating as well. They're not your normal nice size slider. They're a little bit bigger, but they've got all the proteins you want, whether it's beef, chicken, salmon. My favorite is they do a patty, a shrimp patty, and that is an amazing one. It's called the Shrimp Shack. That's my favorite. I've turned a lot of my friends onto the Shrimp Shack. It is worth it. Get down there. It is Slip Sliders on Bins. Our good friend Rashid and his new operation places clean as can be. Great drinks, great sides, great desserts, and a long, long menu of sliders. So you have a choice of a whole bunch. I think during the World Cup, he's going to do some World Cup themed sliders once we find out the draw on December 5th. Okay, we'll take a break. More to come.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Do want to remind you about YouTube TV customers. You could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, the NBA, college basketball, and more. If you want to take action, you go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
You are listening to Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. ESPN 97.5, your humble host, Glenn Davis. Hey, quick word here. For Slip Sliders down on Bins. Now, they have the most extensive and diverse array of sliders. They've got sliders like the Signature Slip, which is fresh ground chuck, American cheese, pickle, and slip sauce. The Caribbean Chick, fresh chicken breast seasoned with jerk seasoning, slip slaw, and pineapple. I've had all these. They're amazing. The Shrimp Shack, though, is my favorite. Made in-house, lettuce, tomato, avocado, and mayonnaise, and then they've got a secret sauce on that one that we don't know about. They're all done on toasted brioche buns. And by the way, they're all made to order. Chicken tenders, all kinds of sauces. They've even got a salmon one, the Captain Jack, the blackened salmon. It's Slip Sliders down on Bins right near Herman Park. And if you're in the museums, well, get over there and take in some of the best cuisine going. These are the best sliders. And these aren't small. These are good size. So I usually do about three, but I could do probably 4 to 5 easy. Slip Sliders, a big thank you to them. And YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN. With that, we bring in a very special guest tonight. Full disclosure, good friend, Jan-Luc Blackburn joins us now from Team Houston. Jan-Luc, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Always good. Always love talking football with you and talking Houston and World Cup tonight. We're going to focus very much so on the Netherlands, their football history, their World Cup history in this segment. So to be a Dutchman and to have gotten to three finals in 1974, 1978, and 2010, people call this the greatest soccer-playing nation to ever not produce a World Cup final win. What are your thoughts as a Dutchman?
Well, this has to be the year. Or sorry, next year has to be the year, right? So it's been in the making. We've been so close, right? We've been, as you say, right, three times in the final, but we were also two times almost there, right? I mean, so, and in Qatar and in Brazil. So I think it is our nation's frustration. At the same time, of course, we're very proud that we are always making it that far. And I mean, Argentina, it was close. Germany, it was close. South Africa, it was close. And we just were sitting every time on the wrong side of close, right?
Which of those three World, I know which is mine, but which of those three World Cup teams, 1974, 1978, 2010, is your favorite? I think I know which one you're going to say. I'll be surprised if you don't.
Now, of those three, I mean, I go back to the original one, right? I mean, the 74, which is what we are famous for. It's when the whole Total football started. I mean, that team was, I think, even to the country, a surprise. And I think from that moment onwards, the whole orange journey started and is now sort of like I mean, we are, I think, an icon in the soccer world, the orange. So it started with that team. So 74 is the favorite, but my real favorite is the 2014 team because I was there, right? I was there for the first three matches. So ingrained in my brain.
He's Jean-Luc Blackburn. He's heading up Team Houston, which we'll have a little word on that before we finish the interview, but it's some really great stuff that's going on with Jean-Luc, and we do a lot of things together. All right, so that has to be a pretty identifying factor for the Netherlands. Like, the entire world knows the Netherlands for creative, attacking, total football, Rinus Michels, Johan Cruyff. I mean, that's pretty amazing in itself how Dutch football has this huge, huge, huge following, huge, huge, huge respect. All these great things that have come from the football out of a very small country.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know what, let's say, the secret sauce is, right? I mean, obviously, sport is a very common thing. Also, soccer in our country is a very accessible sport, right? I mean, everybody can play soccer relatively easy. But yeah, the popularity has grown tremendously. I mean, thanks to those teams initially in the 70s. And now, of course, there is, I think, a lot of pressure on the teams, right? I mean, even the expectation that we have to go all the way to the end, which I can imagine is for the team a lot of pressure. And but it's exciting. I mean, we're getting ready for the qualifiers, right? In 2 weeks, we have 6 days of qualifiers that are going to be pretty okay, I think, for the Netherlands. I mean, still, we need to go and beat Poland, ideally. But then we're on our way to 2026.
Yeah, you beat Poland, you're there. And that'll be the first game. That is in Poland. Poland's on 13 points in Group G behind the Netherlands, who topped the group with 16. And then the final game for the Netherlands will be home against Lithuania. But if they beat Poland, that Lithuania game is going to be a celebration. That's for sure. So November is going to finish qualifying. December 5th, we'll have the World Cup draw, which will be held in Washington, D.C. So let's go back to the great players. I mean, I've always loved Johan Cruyff. I had an ex-teammate who played with him in Washington when he came over to the States. Ruud Krol, Rob Rensenbink, Johan Neeskens. Who was your favorite player, Jan-Luc?
Well, I had a poster in my room of Johan Cruyff, and actually my actual own signature is even inspired by his signature. So
Wow.
So there was, his signature was on the poster, and I had to come up with my signature at some point, right? And so I was inspired by his signature. So still per today, I'm signing with that memory. Obviously, a very, very important player. I mean, for the Netherlands, for what he did afterwards, right? I mean, going to Barcelona and the whole sequence that came from that. But I also love, and again, that's because of that very special moment in memory, somebody like Van Persie, right? I mean, who created an unmistakable memory with a phenomenal goal against Spain and Brazil. And likewise, Marco van Basten, right? I mean, with a phenomenal goal. I mean, so beauties of soccer that are still being replayed and replayed and replayed. And every time when you see them, you enjoy them again. And every time when you see them, you go back in time and you think, man, wish I could have stayed there so much longer, you know?
I saw a highlight footage of Robin Van Persie the other night, and I know what you're talking about. It's incredible. And, you know, it's amazing because, you know, you sometimes forget about them because you think so much about Cruyff and Niesken, 74, Rinus Michels. But, man, one thing I do want to say to our listeners, the man who started in the right back position for the Netherlands in 74 against West Germany in the Olympic Stadium in Germany played a year here in Houston on the Houston Dynamos in the 80s. His name was Wim Serbier. Rest in peace, was a wonderful guy, wonderful player. But he was the starting right back for the 1974 team.
And came from the famous Ajax squad, right? I mean, so you have in the Netherlands, I mean, obviously Ajax is one of the leading squads which produce a lot of talent that has gone all over the world, you know?
And a lot of people say, you know, for the American player and players going over to Europe, not just American players, but all over the world, starting off in the Dutch Eredivisie is a great place to go because of the coaching, the tactical acumen, the emphasis on the creative side of the soccer. And there's been a lot of players who've made the jump there and then make the jump to bigger teams. And, you know, what a great league. What a prideful league as well.
Yes, and it's, I mean, it's, we're a small country, so it's not the biggest league in the world, but it's a high quality league, and again, several of the top teams have gone on to be top contenders in the Champions League, right? So we're always part of the game, and yeah, the interesting thing that you see with also the Dutch players, I mean, they're everywhere, right? I mean, if you take a look at the Premier League, I mean, some of the leading teams there, I mean, there's quite a few Dutch players, so you see them pop up in all kind of places. So maybe there's a little suggestion there for some teams in the U.S. to take a look at some Dutch players, you know?
Yep, no question about it. We had Dick Advocaat was here recently, another big, big name. He actually played with the Chicago Sting in the North American Soccer League, but went on to incredible fame, not only as a player, but also as a coach.
Yeah, and he's doing some interesting things right now with Curaçao, which, as you know, is sort of like a connected to the Netherlands. So I'm very curious if they are going to make it, right? I mean, that would be an interesting, nice, smaller country surprise to participate next year in the World Cup.
Jan-Luc Blackburn, Team Houston. Jan-Luc, where can people find you?
Well, they can find, let's say, my soccer me, obviously, at Team Houston. So team-houston.com. We're warming up for a number of activities in the coming weeks. So there's soccer every day in Houston, as you know.
In Houston, what do we have? About 750, 1,000 people from the Netherlands? Is that the right area?
So around, I think the number is around 2,000.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah. So that's a small number if you compare it to, let's say, obviously other foreign-born communities. But we're very strong and we're very mighty. We do a lot of business, right? I mean, here in the city. So, and hopefully, I mean, you can imagine that on December 5th, which is actually a national special day in the Netherlands, it's when we give gifts to little children. And so I hope I'm going to get my little gift, which would mean that Houston is playing here at least one game, right? Yeah. In this town. That would be one of the most precious gifts we can get on that day.
It would be pretty incredible if it happened. I do want to remind you, go to FWCHouston26.com. And that's where you can get information on the World Cup merchandise. It's FWC26Houston.com, FWC26Houston.com, and get information over there. You can, of course, always get it on Soccer Matters, and you can hit me up at Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock. Jan-Luc, this Poland game, where will you be watching that? Will you watch it in your house? Will you watch it with others here in Houston? Will you have a watch party with the Dutch crew?
Well, actually, we have put on the Team Houston website, we have a watch party in the Velvet Oak Tavern for literally 6 days. Because as you know, the qualifiers are taking 6 days. They go from Thursday until Tuesday. And a lot of top European teams still all have to compete to qualify, right? The only one that's qualified from the UEFA is England, and all the others still need to play. So we're trying to bring all the Europeans together and watch top soccer during those days. And the Netherlands will play on Friday and will play on Monday. So we're trying to bring all the Dutchies, all the orange people, so to speak, all together. So watching in the pub, so to speak.
By the way, the Dutch women got to a final once too. I say that because the Women's World Cup is going to be coming up very soon after the Men's World Cup here in 2026. So,
yeah, and talking about the women, there was some sensation with the under 17 in this, I mean, today or yesterday, right? I mean, they're basically gone at the last minute to the semifinal. So they're playing Mexico and hopefully get to the final. So we have a bright future in women's soccer. And also the young teams of the Netherlands did quite well on the men's side. So 2026 is going to be bright, and hopefully after that as well, you know.
One thing about the Netherlands, I remember having covered women's football and women's World Cups before for different networks and calling games. I remember being in these tournaments, you know, maybe three cycles ago, and watching nations like the Netherlands and saying, you know, just watching them technically, watching the way they're coached, and I'm just saying to myself, well, once they narrow the gap, the physical gap that the U.S., the Canadas have, some of these countries, once that gap is narrowed, watch out. And that's why women's football now is as competitive as it is all over the world.
Yep. Yeah, and it's really, I mean, so one of the things we say in our Team Houston efforts, right? I mean, pay attention to women's soccer. Of course, all the attention coming here and this year also is on men's soccer, but women's soccer is taking off in a dramatic way. And there's a lot of very interesting things happening there. Now, the other thing I should say, right? I mean, you talk about, let's say, the Dutch and how they're playing, but one of the trademarks of the Dutch is, of course, our whole fan base, right? I mean, the fan parade is, I think, unique. The fan parade is now sort of kind of a branding thing of the Netherlands fan base. And so that's the other thing I hope to see, right? I mean, here in the States, just to see the orange parade going through, hopefully, Houston, but any city in the U.S., I mean, it would be just a fantastic thing to see. And that also just demonstrates that, I mean, the sport is nothing but, I mean, it's sport, but it's also a lot of fun. It's a lot of enjoyment. It's a lot of camaraderie. And I think we're going to see that on full display coming here.
Definitely unique. Now, if a Brazilian was in the room or maybe a Colombian, they might want to argue with you a little bit on that one. But the Dutch fans are amazing. They're so fun to watch. I like the guys that wear like the Dutch blazers and everything. Like they got custom suits, you know, that are all orange. Pretty incredible. Jan-Luc, a big thank you for coming on tonight. We're going to have you back on. You and I are going to go over a lot of incredible data and things about Houston and just about the organic nature of it and how this is a World Cup for everybody. It's not just for the big corporate, you know, in that level. This is going to be Houston's World Cup. It's going to be for everybody. So thank you, as always, for coming on.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it a lot. And for the folks who are listening, right, I mean, so we have our first Spanish language event for Team Houston coming Wednesday in Paparuchos from 6 to 9. So if you are from the Hispanic community, y si quieres hablar football con nosotros, we can do it. And we're bringing a nice crowd and some nice facts and figures that you've seen some of those. And again, trying to get everybody excited for the sport and then for what's going to happen in 2026.
That's over there in the Sharpstown area, Paparuchos. All right, Jan-Luc, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
There he goes, and he will come back. Don't worry about that. All right, we're going to take a break here. As we go to break here, well, we do want to remind you again, YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN. Shout out to Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe, the original in Montrose. Of course, you go up to the Woodlands. You got the newest venture there from Dimitri and family, and you go out to I-10 to the Beltway. The best in Greek and American food is Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. LamontBrands.com for your Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats. We're going to be giving some of those out at Senate Avenue Brewing for our next live show out there. And, of course, a big shout-out to Hugh O'Connor's Pub, where you can join the Liverpool supporters group if you want. That's where they are housed, out on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Great craft beer, great whiskey offerings. It is Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We got more soccer talk to come. This is Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Ain't no use. Ain't no use.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.